Hello, everybody, and welcome to Kentucky Ag Matters, a podcast designed to inform and educate both producers and consumers about all matters affecting agriculture. On this week's show, David, Jay, and Vicki will sit down and discuss the importance of farm safety. And as always, we'll wrap things up with this week's timely tip. Thanks so much for joining us. We hope you enjoy the show. Hello, everybody.
Hey, Jay.
Hey, Jay.
How's Vicki doing today?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good. I try not to complain, but some days is better. I'm better at that than others.
Did you have much rain this morning driving in?
I had a few sprinkles. It wasn't a washout or anything.
Well, it's Webster County. I figured they had more than a few sprinkles. I figured it was adequate, whatever it was.
Yeah, I guarantee
just the
it.
Right amount. We got just the right
I
amount.
I bet that's right.
Well, we've joked all through the summer of 22 that every time there was a rain anywhere, Vicki had it, and David and I did not have it. So
absolutely,
we're working down in Christian County today, recording at the Farm Bureau office. They were nice enough to give us a spot to rest for the day, and
we appreciate that.
Yes, we do.
Good partners with Farm Bureau all across the state.
Absolutely,
David. How are you this morning?
I'm getting along, Jay. Getting along. Calving will be, probably when this airs, calving will be pretty well getting close to being over. So that's something I'm always look forward to. But, you know, it's been a time or two pretty tough here in the last little bit. But, you know, we'll suffer through and get through it. And everything will be better on the other side.
At this point of the time, like you say, when this airs, we'll be more towards the middle to the end of February, and we should be getting some nice weather by then. Mm. We hope so. We've already had a few days here lately that have been pretty nice.
Yeah. Last few days have been sun shining, and, you know, I had a few calves that needed that, you know, that were born during that little ice event that we had here in Christian County and Trigg County and some of the western ends of Kentucky that some of folks experienced. So, you know, and we got to drive to Lexington last week, you know, and when we had ice down here, you normally think they usually have some things that are a little worse than us, snow or ice, either one, but they didn't have anything. And we caught the blunt of that deal. So, you know, I could sure use a few days that are nice and sunny and that type thing.
Certainly. My wife does home health and is on the road all the time, and she was making a comment about how she wouldn't live up north where they had all that snow they had to fool with all the time. And to me, I love where we're at, but we're in the worst spot usually, because below us is always rain, typically rain, and above us is snow. So where that leaves us at is being that transition point of ice. We've had several times in the last few years where we'd end up with a quarter or a half inch of ice. And it's almost paralyzing what it does to people on the roads, to our electrical grid, to everything. It's just ice is tough to deal with.
Yeah, and you know, and it's a great segue into this week's show. But talking about safety is never good, you know, out there, especially on the road with ice and you know, things of this nature on power lines and things of that along those lines. So it's you know, from a safety standpoint, it's pretty tough. This ice is pretty tough. If folks have never experienced it, if you're listening to our show and you've never experienced ice, there's not a vehicle on the planet that can go on ice.
No, you can't.
You know, you can go in snow a little bit and do pretty good, but, you know, there's nothing that can go on ice, nothing.
And during ice storms, it's a great opportunity for you to fall and break something, too. You can't walk on ice, so we can't drive on ice. But all kidding aside, just last week, of course, I was out of town and missed it, thankfully. But I have talked to a few that, you know, slipped and fell a few times, and you got to be real careful on the ice, because it's sometimes you can't even tell that there's ice there when you first step out, especially on patios and things like that. You step in, that first step will get you.
It's a doozy. It's a doozy.
Yeah.
Years ago, my mother was out of town visiting some friends over the Christmas holiday, had traveled by herself, and had stopped in a convenience store to get something to drink, get some gas. And when she come back out, ice got her.
Yep.
You've seen these concrete stops that sit at the end of a parking space, you know, she fell and caught her elbow on one of those concrete stops. And of course, it just They broke all three of the bones, ended up having surgery. And worst part of that, she was out of town by herself, and we had to go and load her up and get her and bring her home. And ice can cause a lot of issues for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, when we're in a good part of the country that, you know, we get a little winter, but we don't get a lot of winter, and I'm okay with that. And probably as we've discussed on this show many times, how much that I hate winter and hate snow and ice and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, it hopefully we've gotten through the worst of it now.
Right. It's a lot of people think about livestock being out and this kind of winter being hard on them. It's not the temperature so much that bothers them as much as it is that back and forth and that wet and the cold. The wet and cold, pneumonia weather, as my grandfather used to call it, is hard to work around.
Yeah, and, you know, a cold, wet rain is probably the worst thing ever. Or like we had the other day when we had some cows calving on the ice that was on the grass. And, that just seems like it sucks the heat right out of those calves, and they have a tough time making it, you know, during that time. So, but cold and wet is a lot worse than anything that they can experience, for sure.
Takes a little bit of time for any young animal like that to develop that shiver response. And that's really what they've got to be to that point before they can keep themselves warm.
Yep. Yeah. We actually brought a calf in the house the other night, and it is about gone. And I give all kudos to my wife, and we've talked about it on a previous podcast, but she kept that calf alive. And it was about, I brought it in the house about 7, and it was probably 10 o'clock before that calf started shivering. You can noticeably see that calf shivering. So I felt like we were on the other side by then. So, yeah, it was good.
That's what it takes for them to
turned out good. So,
and if I remember correctly, I think this calf now has a name.
It does. It does. Lucky is the calf. Yes. Well, my wife calls it Lucy, so my coworkers call it Lucky, but Jody told me last night her name was Lucy.
Either way, Lucy was lucky to have y'all.
Right.
Heifer calf, I'm assuming?
Yes, it was a heifer calf. And, you know, the thing about it is my wife asked me if we were going to keep that one on the farm, and I was, it's really not how this works. This is not how making money works. I don't know if you understand that or not. I'm not married to any of them, you know.
David showed me a picture the other day when we was at our tobacco meeting, and he was telling me the story, and I said, so is this one gonna stay or leave?
Get to stay until she gets into bred heifer sale, and then she makes a bred heifer sale, she's going somewhere else.
As long as she becomes a cow and has a long and fruitful life.
Absolutely.
That'd be a good thing.
Yep.
Well, we're getting together today to talk about the importance of ag safety. And, you know, there's so many different aspects when it comes to farm safety. Whether you're on a livestock farm, a grain farm, any farm that there is going to have obstacles. It's going to have things that break. It's going to have things that need repairing. And a lot of times it's within our purview to prevent some of these problems by seeing the things as they happen, making repairs and making the proper items that we need to do to keep things on the up and up.
No. Yeah, that's right. That's exactly right. And, you know, one of the things I researched, we all kind of divided this up, and all three of us are doing something a little different. And I talked to and looked up and researched a little bit about equipment safety and some of the greatest dangers of tractors and different equipment. And, you know, there was three main ones. Of course, rollovers is a big one, and people getting run over is another one, and then PTO accidents or moving parts accidents are some of the bigger ones that we have to look at. And, you know, folks just really need to be careful. I mean, if you use common sense, a lot of these things won't happen. But, you know, as we've talked about before, the problem is as people that work in agriculture and on farms every day, we get very comfortable doing things, and we don't pay a lot of attention to what's going on around us. We're just taking for granted everything is good. So we really need to watch. You know, if we're talking about tractor rollovers and things of this nature, we need to reduce our speed when we cross slopes. Slick and muddy conditions make a big deal. You know, we don't want to overload our equipment, overloading our tractor. Maybe we don't have a tractor that's big enough for the piece of equipment that we're pulling, and we're still trying to do the job. You know, that's part of the problem. And we don't want to do anything that's going to impair our reaction time. Now, this could be a lot of different things. It can mean a lot of different things. You know, obviously using alcohol and things of this nature when you're using tractors and equipment is not necessarily a good thing. But then also, if we're sleep deprived,
Don't think about that. That is one thing that we don't think about as being a potential hazard, I guess, for lack of a better word, is not having enough rest. But that, David, that is exactly right, and especially the time of the year that you're on that equipment. You know, when it's spring and fall and you're trying to get the crops in and you're working way too many hours and you don't, and your reaction time isn't going to be, your reaction time isn't going to be as fast. And then also you're not going to be as observant about what's around you, because we're going to be in too big of a hurry. We're going to be trying to get a job done, and we're simply, we kind of switch to that one-track mind, and that'll get us in trouble.
I think you're exactly right with the reaction time. So oftentimes we hear about people falling asleep. You know, they've been sleep deprived, and they fall asleep at the wheel. We hear about people on the road doing that, you know, in passenger cars all the time. But even above that, you don't have to fall asleep to have an accident. It's that reaction time just from being slow, from being tired and being slow.
Foggy mind. Foggy mind. Because you hear people say, I'm in a fog. And we've all been there.
Yeah.
For whatever reason. It could be sleep deprived. It could be something that's going on in your life that is not related to the farm at all.
And your mind
completely on whatever is going on outside of the duty that you're doing at that time. But that does affect how we react and the things that we do or the things that we don't see.
Yeah.
I think that's even more so nowadays with a lot of our automation that we have in our equipment. You know, time was you had to stay sharp because you was going to have to grab a lever, run a steering wheel, do something. But with automation, it tends to make us a little more complacent sitting in the
cab. Know, I've seen people, tons of people sitting in a tractor cab on their phone when they got the auto steer on and, you know, not paying any attention to what's going on. You know, people running planters, for instance, they had to pay attention to the row units and who, you know, and all that kind of stuff. All this stuff is now on a screen in front of you and it tells you all this stuff, but folks are not paying attention to it much because most of the time it's running like it's supposed to be. So you're on your phone and you're not paying attention. And one of the things that Vicki's already talked about is, you know, about bystanders or coworkers being in close proximity where you're working. You've got to pay attention to where those folks are at. You know, even backing up to fill up a planter or fill up, you know, change anhydrous tanks or whatever we're doing. You know, we really need to keep those people at a safe distance from our equipment. We want to keep our safety shields in place, too. This is something that used to be, I think, way more prevalent back when I was a kid. You know, then because when things wasn't working right, you'd take the doggone safety shield off
and throw it across the driveway or the field.
Yeah, and get rid of that darn thing so you could get to work on something. But we really need to pay attention to those things because one of the statistics that I did read is that a 3-inch PTO shaft running at 540 RPMs can wrap, say, a piece of material 7 foot tall in 1 second. You cannot react that fast to get out of that. And with especially with the newer equipment that we have, with the bigger tractors that we have, back in the old days when we were farming with a Super M, you couldn't choke out whatever it was. If you got wrapped up in it, it wouldn't choke it out. So you know good and well when you have a 200 horsepower tractor hooked to something in a PTO shaft, it's not going to choke out. You will certainly get hurt pretty good in something like that.
And that reminds me as far as on talking about that safety tip is the clothing that you wear. Pay attention to the clothes that you wear. Don't wear loose fitting clothes or, you know, just because there's a lot of moving parts to all of this equipment. And like you said, there's so many different safety things to think about. And that doesn't matter if you're on a livestock farm, if you're on a grain farm, if you're raising vegetables, a tobacco farm, it doesn't matter. You're still, the equipment that you're using has a lot of moving parts. It has a lot of things that's happening. And it's that loose clothing, like, you know, it can like on a PTO.
Yeah.
I mean, it can
pull
grab
you right in.
It can grab that, and it's going to pull you right in. And then there's levers and gears and pulleys and you know, and it can hang you up on something. And so just, you know, something as simple as that is just paying attention to the type of clothing you have on. And then make sure your shirts are tucked in and just, you know, just things like that. And, you know, I know when I was in high school and going through like the youth ag days, safety days, one of the things that the presenter at that time was talking about, I believe it was actually PTO safety, I believe. But, you know, if you have long hair, pull that hair back. Put it in, you know, wear a cap and pull your hair back, because something, you're leaning down long, you know, and it can, and, you know, I thought, you know, I never thought about that. But,
you know, we've all got stories that we could tell. We could probably sit here and for the next 45 minutes talk about stories that we were involved in, that we knew somebody that's involved in, and we're probably at times, I know there's been a time or two, I'm still lucky to be here, because I made a mistake and did something that didn't cost me my life, but that doesn't always happen. But we've all got those stories that we can tell.
You know, working in the ag industry, a lot of times it's very common for folks to get called in to be a witness in a trial. And the very first time I ever was called in to be an expert witness in a trial, it was when a farm employee had got a piece of his shirt sleeve wrapped up in an unguarded PTO on a manure spreader. And, well, I say unguarded. It worse than being gone all the way, it was only partially there. It had broke, the plastic shield had broke, and only about part of it was there. And it was spinning along with the shaft, and, you know, one of those things where, had it been repaired, might not have happened. Now, it's not going to mean it's 100% not going to happen, but had it been repaired, had it been, you know, taken the time to be replaced, it should have, it could have possibly helped a guy.
Oh, absolutely.
And in our youth ag days, we've had youth ag days for many years in Webster County, just like you all have, and we do a lot of different stations on safety, and for years and years now, we've had a PTO safety stop, and we have a Mr. Know-It-All, and Mr. Know-It-All is basically straw and clothing, but Mr. Know-It-All is the one that's going to give you a visual that you're not going to forget. And one of
he's going to take the fall.
He's going to take the fall for the team, that's for sure. But one of the things that that we demonstrate is we'll have somebody on that tractor, and that tractor's running.
Yep.
So the tractor's running, so it's loud.
Yep.
You know, you're not going to be able to hear as well. So if somebody's trying to holler and tell you stop, it's going to take them a minute, you know, to hear you. But one of the things that the presenter always does is he'll have Mr. Know-It-All, and he'll have the kids, the students there to holler, you know, to scream out when they see that Mr. Know-It-All's in trouble, and to get the tractor operator to get it stopped. Well, you know what happens. They can't get it. He can't hear them. And by the time he or she does hear them, then Mr. Know-It-All has already been hurt.
He's bad. A bit to dust.
He's done. Yes, exactly.
Yep.
But, you know, that reminds us, too, that it's the tractor running, those kinds of things, that they impair being able to someone aware that, that there's a problem.
And you take – throw in, say, maybe somebody's tired, or maybe they've got something else on their mind they've been thinking about, or they're distracted some other kind of way, or impaired some other way. And I mean, it's really hard to get all that to come together at one time, you know,
and it
usually ends up in a not very good situation. So, and we've all had those in our counties. I mean, we've had them, you know. But anyway, I mean, that's the seriousness of the situation, and we all kind of like to joke and carry on, but it is a very serious situation for sure.
Well, and like we've discussed before, agriculture is one of the most, I guess, dangerous per se, you know, careers out there.
Yep.
Because we, in agriculture, like we've already talked about, just the equipment side of it alone. But then a lot of times you're working by yourself. You're working way away from any main road. you know, and even when you get to the field, some of these fields are pretty big. You may be in the very back of the field, mm-hmm. even hard to find.
Yeah.
You know, you have that and just this being tired, all that things that mm-hmm. we've already talked about, it just kind of compounds it, you know.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, we've covered a lot of areas, and one of the things we do need to talk about is like folks who work regularly with livestock. David, you've got cattle. You've been in right towards the end of your calving season right now, and we mm-hmm. want folks to who do have regular access to livestock, whether it's horses, whether it's cattle, whatnot. There's a lot of safety tips that they can be thinking about as well. And,
sure.
you know, one of those first things that I think should come to mind, whether you're an experienced livestock person or not, is to think about making deliberate movements when you're working in and around animals. Mm-hmm. Not doing anything sudden, not doing anything rash. Animals have that fight or flight sense, and there are certain areas around an animal where you're going to get out of their comfort zone or out of their vision area, and they can't see you. And their initial response, if they can't see you, if they know you're behind you, is to kick. And being able to move and make deliberate movements and not making any type of loud noises around an animal is going to go a long way towards helping keep you safe.
Oh, definitely. And we don't have time for all the stories about how many times I've been kicked and run over and all that kind of stuff. But most of them usually end up with me doing something I shouldn't have been doing to begin with. I can only think of really one occasion that I was tracked down and really gotten a hold of that probably wasn't my fault, but the rest of them pretty well. If I'd have been using a little bit of common sense, which is something that's pretty important when you're around livestock, to be able to handle those livestock and like you're talking about, Jay, making those deliberate movements, don't do anything fast. I get on my grandkids all the time when we're up there working cattle, and I do have them in my grandkids in a safe place when we are, but I try to teach them as we're working cows through the chute on where to stand and how to make that cow move up without touching that cow. And, you know, you've got those pressure points that and where she can see you and where she can't see you and all those kind of stuff.
Non-contact movements.
Absolutely. And, that is so important these days. We don't work cattle like we used to. We used to hoop and holler and beat and bang, and those days are behind us for the most part. We do a little bit better job from a beef quality assurance standpoint of handling those cattle like we should be handling them. So it's always a good teachable moment when those kids are up there.
You know, I think that's twofold. You're right, we don't work cattle the way we used to, but on the same hand, we don't work the same kind of cattle
Absolutely.
That we used to either.
Yes.
You know, a snorty cow is a snorty cow, and she's got a place to be, and that's typically the sale barn in my mind.
She's not on my place, that's for Wouldn't sure.
Wouldn't be for me, for sure. Yeah.
We can go a long ways towards yep. helping ourselves be safe just by the type of yep. animals that we keep around. There's a popular reel that's running around on all the social media sites right now of what a fast food chain value meal burger looks like. And it's a big old snorty cow that's running people up on the fence and kicking yep. the trailer walls and everywhere yep. else.
You know, and that you can do a lot for yourself just by getting rid of those cows, because those cows are sure. a danger. They're a danger to the people that are there on your farm, and they're a danger to you for sure. And
probably to themselves.
Well, that too. And I can remember, even as a kid, my grandfather had a snorty cow or two that would just absolutely get you, especially when she had a calf. And, those cows need to take a ride.
They won't.
We need to get rid of them, irregardless of our attachment to mm-hmm. them, if you will, I guess is how I'd want
right.
to say that.
I'll say this before our next point, but a lot of times those snorty cows will raise a calf like them.
They're, every time, yeah.
That,
and every
that's
time.
Their environmental influence.
Yeah, and they're really good. You know, the problem is they're really good, and we go, she has such a good calf every year, I don't want to get rid of her. But, hey, folks, you can't take a chance on getting hurt.
Right.
It's not worth it.
They'll cost you money one way or another, whether it's in equipment and fence repairs or ewe repairs, and those are the most expensive.
That's
but
right.
On that same hand, when I think about my next point, I think about using, regardless of the type of livestock we're around, using extreme caution when you're around either males of that species or around mothers with offspring. Because even a good cow will get pretty protective when she's got a new calf on the ground. And even a docile male that you're used to handling, you whether it's a bull or a stud horse or whatnot, you may be very used to handling them, and they may be a big plaything, but they could hurt you before you really think about it. Sometimes they could just be playing and hurt you.
Yeah, that's exactly right, Jay. And, you know, we of course, we raise bulls and do some things of this nature, and, of course, you have to kind of pay attention when you're around them. But I do remember back when I was a kid, or I guess got out of high school, worked at a farm that had some sheep. And we kept those rams in a really close place, and you did not want to let them get a head of steam up when they were going to try to butt you. You know, we kept them in a really close place and tried to keep that, you know, from hitting each other is the other reason you don't want to give them a lot of room. But, you know, you had to really watch them because they turn on you in a minute. When you got in there to feed or do, you had to keep your eyes on them because they will, it doesn't matter what time of year it is. Those guys, when they get, if they don't like you, or they want to, they may just be even playing, you know, and but they just don't know how big they are and how much damage they can do.
Well, and typically there's some warning signs that they'll give you if they're not playing. You know, I think about old cow pawing the ground or having their ears pinned back, any kind of animal having its ears pinned back or baring its teeth. You know that they're agitated and they've got that on their mind. So.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
It's them warning signs that we sometimes miss.
Yep. Yeah, and you need to pay attention to them. And they may be warm and fuzzy and cuddly looking, but in all reality, they're not very fuzzy or cuddly. Mm-hmm. And you need to really pay attention.
You know, I think about another thing that goes along with that we can do all throughout the year is in our working facilities and in and around the areas where we're going to be in those close confined areas with livestock, whether it's pens or in and around the head chute or whatnot, keep those working areas clean. Keep debris from being around where you might trip over it. Always leave yourself an exit path where you're going to have to get away from something.
Good point.
Regardless of what it is, if you know something might have a tendency to turn on you, you're going to need a fence close enough and the boards wide enough apart you can get your boot through them so you can scale that fence in a short amount of time.
You don't want a solid fence right there, that's for sure, if you think you're going to have to get up on it. But you're exactly right, Jay. And, I mean, having an escape route. And that's the thing that I try to tell people when they're handling livestock, always be thinking about, well, if this happens, what am I going to do? How can I get out? And that's with any livestock. You know, pigs are the same way. You know, you always need to have that escape route to be able to get away. And, you know, especially if you don't have a lot of experience with livestock, you really need to kind of, you know, be thinking about, you know, if this horse tries to kick me. And believe it or not, it is better to be really, really close to that animal than it is to be within foot reach of them, because when they wind up, it's a lot, the kick is not as hard or it doesn't hurt as much if you're standing next to them. Now, I'm not saying for everybody to run up next to the cow. I'm not saying that, or a horse, but if you get out on the tail end of that kick, buddy, you want to talk about something that hurts, because I've had it.
It's the difference from getting knocked away versus
knocked out.
That's right. Exactly right. Yep. You know.
Well, you all have, you know, we kind of joked about my lack of livestock experience and knowledge, but for some reason I thought it would be a great idea to take a AI class for my master's, and I did. I took it. I passed it. It was a good class for me, but now I was scared a few times there at Old Fox Creek. If you're from this area, listening, is where we were. But anyway, a professor that we have all had, Dr. Davis, was, you know, he was there, and that's what he told us. He said, now listen, he said, you don't want to back away. He said, you just stay with them. Matter of fact, he'd say, you just need to dance with them. He said, you just stay right there with them, and you just dance with them, because you don't want to step back, because it's going to hurt a whole lot worse.
That's right. Yeah, and you can't make people understand that, but that is true.
Well, it's just your natural instinct, especially if you're like me, if you're a listener like me that has not had the experience working with cattle up close and personal, and you're gonna be scared anyway.
Yep.
And so it's just your natural instinct to get back as far away as you can from them. You know, that's just naturally what you want to do. But in this instance,
If you're on the tail end of that kick, Well, she's going to hurt now, I promise you.
You know, earlier when we were talking about working in close proximity to animals, something that I should have touched on at that time is cows especially, but horses will do the same thing. They very much will get in a routine, and they will get used to your routine. And when we were talking about making deliberate actions and always being within sight and not being in that unseen zone where they mm-hmm. can't see, part of your deliberate action should be developing a routine that you follow. If it's moving pastures, if it's bringing cattle into the barn, they will get used to that same routine with you. And that makes them a little easier to predict, too, when you know what they're going to do.
Yeah, you know, like getting a bucket of feed and getting when you get ready to get them up, give them a bucket of feed. You know, they'll get used to that, and that makes them a lot easier to handle. You don't want to be out there in the pasture on the four-wheeler trying to run up cows, because that never ends good, but if you take a bucket of feed and just kind of feed them out there in the pasture and then just start bringing them up closer to the barn and closer to the barn every time, and then, you know, fix a place in the barn where you can actually get them in the barn and feed them in the barn, and they'll all come in, and then just let them all walk back out. If you let them do that for several times, they'll get used to doing that. And so then when you do get ready to get them up, they're not as much trouble. And it's a lot forward thinking like that is just, you know, you got to think ahead of you. And I tell my kids all the time, I said, you got to be smarter than the animal. So we got to think about mm-hmm. that. So you got to be smarter than the animal. So how am I going to get this? How am I going to catch this cow, or how am I going to catch this horse, or whatever, you know? But that sometimes has to develop over 2 or 3 weeks period of time.
Yeah.
Well, and cattle too, aren't they're naturally herding, I guess, sure. animals. So, you know, getting them, you get one to go a direction,
yeah,
you want
them
to,
get
then
them
you're
all.
Likely going to get all of them to go yeah. that direction. And just
and you want them all. They're easier to handle when yeah. they're all in a bunch, I promise.
That's exactly right. Yeah. Nobody's running to catch up with the bunch or running the opposite direction.
Yeah.
Yep.
You know, we talk about our facilities, and you mentioned there getting them inside. That's especially helpful in this time of the year when it's dark a lot of times in the evening, when a lot of producers may be getting off of their job to go mm-hmm. home and feed. Having that well-lit area that they can get in is a big safety thing. They're not going to be on top of you if you can see them.
That's right. Yeah, that's if you true. Can see them.
But
right.
even then, from a production standpoint, there's yep. so many things that a nice facility with that's lighted this time of the year can help yeah. you with. You'll see problems before they start to really become a problem.
Yeah, but absolutely. Being able to do that is a big advantage.
You know, probably the last thing that I want to touch on related to livestock, and I've left it to the last because it affects all the things that we've said, is try to have somebody that's helping you, or somebody that's going to be with you if you're working in and around livestock on a regular basis. So often times we're all used to going and doing things by ourselves. We either don't have the help available, or I'm just going to be a minute, I can run and take care of this. But having somebody around who can help you in case you do get hurt mm-hmm. a lot of times is a big, big plus in all of our on-farm activities.
Oh, I agree with that 100%. And, you know, we've touched on that even when we were talking, you know, grain bin safety back up a couple of podcasts ago. But, you know, having somebody know where you are, you know, every time I go check the cows, I go in there and tell my wife, I said, hey, I'm going to prepare to check these cows. You know, and so she knows where the cows are because I tell her whatever field I'm going to. And, you know, I can remember a time that if I hadn't had my son with him, he was probably 8 or 9. And this is one of those cow stories that this cow tracked me down. This one actually wasn't my fault. I wasn't doing anything bad. But I checked on this cow, and I was a pretty good distance from her. And she actually ran me down and got me and was standing. I had dove in this tree lap, and she was actually standing on my calves hitting me in the back. And if my son hadn't have been there, you know, mm-hmm. with me and got to hollering and carrying on, of course, he could outrun me, you know. That's mm-hmm. why he didn't get gotten. I did, but which is good. I'm good with that. But, you know, that was one of those times that if he hadn't have been there, she could have really hurt me. And she did hurt me, but she didn't hurt me probably as bad as she could have. But, you know, just let folks know where you are. I know there's a lot of folks that have cattle that are by themselves, but, you know, if you let your wife know where you are, you know, and if you don't come back in a reasonable amount of time, you know, I've been up there and gone to check the cows and had to pull a calf or something and, you know, get back to the house, and my wife would say, you know, I was fixing to come up there. You hadn't, you know, got back when you're supposed to. So, mm-hmm. you know, things happen, but at least somebody knows where you are.
And that's a big, big point when you do stuff by yourself. I myself have a tree farm. and it's up the road from my house. It's not real close to my house, but it's not that far away. And every time I go up to work for a day, I'll leave my wife a note if she's not around, telling her where specifically on the farm I'm going to be. So if I didn't show back up, they'd at least have a good idea where to start looking.
Yep, absolutely.
And on that, kind of on that same line, especially I think handling livestock, is you need to have the right people there. Because you can cause more problems by having too many people there, or your friends or something that's not been around livestock, and they're, you know, not being a little loud, or even just walking up and down, you know, the area where you're trying to work them, and can really put a whole kink in everything. And it's just, you know, like kind of like you said at the very beginning, just be, you know, slow and methodical, I guess.
You know, I'll share this related to that, because the people you pick to work with you makes a big, big difference. At the University of Kentucky, we had a retired dairy geneticist who recently passed away, and he was in charge of getting people for the dairy show and working with youth livestock programs. I said geneticist. He technically was a reproductive physiologist, but once you get that high up in education, they can cross fences pretty easy, you know, from one to the other. Dr. George Hershey was his name, and he asked me early in my career if I would come help them at the dairy show. And I told him, I said, you know, I've worked a lot with cattle, but not really dairy cattle. And he said, well, that doesn't matter. He said, you've got livestock experience. You know enough to not get yourself hurt. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was a very, very valid point. He also said, besides you're a horse person, he said, that means you can get along with anybody. You'll certainly get along with dairy producers.
Right.
But thinking a lot about the Hershey family right now, and specifically his thoughts on livestock safety, because that's one of the reasons I was recruited to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Vicki, I know you did a little bit of research maybe on some pesticide safety or chemical safety or something.
Yeah, I did. And, you know, pesticide safety is always, again, it doesn't matter what part of agriculture you're in. Most of the time you're going to have to use a pesticide here or there or somewhere. And, you know, we won't talk about it a real long time, but, you know, just some reminders. And first of all is, you know, look at that label. You don't necessarily have to read the label from front to back, but you really do need to take a look at that label and look at things about, and particularly about the personal protective equipment, that PPE that you need to have when you're using that particular pesticide. That's on there for a reason. None of us like to be suited up. I get that. It's usually hot when you're spraying, and that just, you know, and you don't want to do it. But, you know, just take the time to look at that part of that label and protect yourself, because, you know, our skin absorption is like the number one because of mixing and just you don't want to do that. Those chemicals are made for a purpose of controlling whatever pest it is that we're controlling, and we want to do that, but we want to do that in a safe manner. The other thing is, and it's common sense, we all know not to do it, but it gets done a lot, is never put a pesticide in a container that is not the container it needs to be in. So, because your family can walk in there and they can confuse it for something else, and you just absolutely don't want to have that product in something. I have seen before where there is, let's say, Roundup or whatever, and it's in a Coca-Cola bottle or a Mountain Dew bottle or whatever. Don't do that, because you don't know who might be coming in that shop. Might be your
after
kids.
You.
Yeah,
after you.
Yeah. I mean, it might be your children. It might be your grandkids. It might be friends of your children. And so, you know, you just want to make sure that we don't want to do that. Make sure that stays in the proper container. And then the other thing is just be aware of your surroundings. Be aware of what's around you. And, you know, don't be spraying when the wind's blowing 25 miles an hour, you know, all those types of things.
Are you talking about common sense? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, yeah, I know. That's a tough subject, but but I just wanted to bring
it. Tougher for some.
Yes, but, and I know that a lot of folks hire their spraying done, and you may not be physically spraying, but a lot of times you do still have some Roundup or something sitting around to do some spot spraying or 2,4-D or something like that.
Farmstead spraying in and around
exactly.
Buildings.
Exactly. Yeah. So just, you know, just again, just kind of be careful about what you're doing. And also, this is not necessarily related to ATVs or UTVs, but it can be because we spray off of those too. We do a lot of spot spraying, and we put those tanks in the back, and off we go. But, you know, there's a lot of farm accidents that happen on those side-by-sides or those four-wheelers, more than we want to even think about. And, you know, we really need to be careful when we're operating those. And I think, you know, back when I was a kid, I had a three-wheeler first. And you talk about you can flip them real easy. Then we went to four-wheelers. Well, we thought we had four wheels instead of three. You can't turn that thing over. Well, you can.
Yep.
And
done it.
And then, you know, and then side-by-sides again. You know, I know in my county, like you said, we all know somebody in my county in the last 5 years, you know, there's been two accidents fairly close to where I live, you know, on those side-by-sides, and it was things that they've done their whole life. I mean, there's no, you know, things they did every day.
Yeah, you know, that we were talking about getting comfortable doing something and that
exactly.
kind of thing.
And it just takes that one time. And so, you know, those side-by-sides, they come with a seatbelt for a reason.
Yep.
You know, a lot of times they're not used, but they need to be. And I know they've got the row bars and all, but those row bars are not going to do you any good if you can't stay in the seat of that thing when it turns over.
Yep. You know, you're talking about pesticide safety. I think something that should always be on the forefront of everybody's mind when they're mixing chemicals, especially two chemicals together, is to know how compatible those two chemicals are. Going back to the label that you started off with, that label is the law, but it is also all the information that you're going to need both to prevent an accident from happening or to help you react from an accident to happen. I always recommend people to keep a copy of that label, especially for those who don't do their own spraying that might just be mixing something up to use in and around the house or the shop, the farmstead. If you ever have an accident and need to seek out first aid help, that label is going to help you help that doctor know what methods to take, what direction to take care of you.
Oh, absolutely. I agree with that 100%. And, you know, this is, as we wind our show down a little bit, we've always end our show with a timely tip. And I think this week's timely tip is kind of a two-parter. Really, I think we need to, number one, we need to use common sense. Anytime we're around any equipment, anywhere on our livestock, whether they're chemicals, whether they're, you know, road safety, whether we didn't really touch on that much, but road safety is UTV, ATV safety, just use a little bit of common sense. And the other part of that is to let somebody know where you are.
Absolutely.
And I think that would go a long way into, you know, if there was an accident or if there was a problem, somebody would be able to check on you and at least know what vicinity to start looking. You know, we work so much alone in agriculture. We work by ourselves so much. And you know, we just need to let folks know where we are, whether that be a phone call and say, hey, I'm going to be here or there or in the back 40, you know, I'm in such and such field, you know, whatever. You may run in a sinkhole or you know, something may happen that you may need some emergency help. Always let somebody know where you're at.
Just yesterday, David, I had the day off. I spent the day in the woods by myself, thinning some dead trees, cutting some dead trees down on my farm, which meant I was 2.5 miles off the blacktop, back at the end of logging roads, back in the hills, but left my wife a note, like I mentioned a minute ago, because so she would know where to start looking if I didn't show up for supper time. That's probably one of the best timely tips we've had that covers so many different things, whether it's livestock, whether it's crops, whatever it may be.
Yep, I agree 100%.
So.
And also take this time if to do some things that you know need to be fixed that you left undone before. Go ahead and take that time because an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure.
I was waiting for that, wasn't you, David?
Yeah.
45 minutes I've been waiting for her to say that.
I told y'all I was going to work that in there. So, and y'all set the stage right there for me because it is true.
It's true.
Because most accidents that happen
are preventable.
Could be preventable.
They are preventable.
Just, so.
A small repair might prevent a more costly repair somewhere down the road,
Yep. Or an accident. So, I mean, that's what we're trying to keep from having.
That's absolutely right. You want to protect yourself. You want to protect your family and friends.
Everybody.
You know.
Yep.
So. Absolutely. Well, David, Vicki, thanks for sitting down with me today and talking about this. We appreciate all the information that we all contribute from time to time, and we want to thank you and thank our listeners for joining in. We hope you've enjoyed our show, and we'll make plans to join us again next week for our next episode. And until then, remember, Kentucky Ag matters.